Today I'd like for us to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. We'll be looking at these wonderful words again of Christ, words shared in a sermon out on the side of a hill, words that kind of sum up, we think, the essence of what Jesus was trying to get across to people. And in this particular passage, he addresses where our heart is, or the treasure of our hearts. We're going to be looking at what it means to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, especially following Jesus wholeheartedly determines what we treasure in life. The Sermon on the Mount is given so that we know what life is like as we follow Christ. What does life look like as we follow Christ and as we try to live close to Christ? Well, this in part is what it looks like. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. We're going to look at that, verses 19 through 24. I'd like, if you would, read with me what Jesus says to us in these words? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. First basic idea in this text. The second comes here. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Second idea. The third idea in our text is this. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, let's just see if we can rebuild the ideas. What came first? We're not to store up treasures on earth. What's the problem with that? Moths and rust destroyed. And thieves break in and steal them. Okay? What's the next thing? Store up treasures in heaven. Why is it a good thing to do it there? Moths and rust can't wreck it. And what? Thieves can't get in there. Okay, great. First idea. What was the second idea? Had to do with your eyes. The eye is the lamp of the body.
And if your eye is clear, then your body is full of light.
If your eye is clear, your body is full of light. And next? Huh? If your eyes are bad, there's darkness. Okay? And
The light in your body is darkness. How very dark that darkness is.
If the light in your body is darkness, how very dark that darkness is. Third idea. You can't serve two masters. That's the sum of it. Why? You'll hate one and you'll love the other. And then he kind of tells us what the two masters are. You can't serve
God
and money. There, great. You did a great job putting the text there. So the first thing we see is the futility of treasuring temporary things. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. Have any of you had moths do this to clothing? You've had that? Is that not a pain if it's a favorite piece of clothing? Yes. Moths would destroy it. Absolutely. Okay. So it's a great illustration for us to not treasure temporary stuff. Here's some fun. Okay. It's a rust bucket, but just for fun, anybody here know what this is? Huh? It's a pickup, a Chevy, year? 50, yep, okay. There you go. Right on. Okay. Let's look at another rust bucket. Okay. What? Chevy. It's a Chevy. Year? 70s? Very close. 70s. Pickup. Very good. An old rust bucket, you know? Probably some of you have seen one of those and one of those. What about the car on the left? Who said Ford? Somebody say Ford? 54? Yeah, probably 52, somewhere in there. Ford. Okay. Now, what is, just for fun, the thing on the right? I haven't a clue. A 2000 Kia? A rust bucket. That's hilarious. Now, we can recognize the form of something, but these things just are illustrate again for us that how temporary things are, and that we need cautions about investing in stuff that just turns into rust or that can be taken from us. Or the Dow Jones, you know, what? Where is our heart? Where is our heart? There's a futility in treasuring just temporary stuff. The second idea I think that we get has to do with the wisdom of treasuring what lasts forever. Now there's a comparison here. Can you help me think about some things that last forever that might represent what Jesus is talking about, treasures that might last forever? The love of God, that's something. Relationships. Deeds done in the name of Christ. Investing in children.
Words.
Words. They can be profound. Put the heart right in you. Lift your spirits. Memories. Yes. Relationships. Can earthly things contribute to heavenly things? Can you think of an example of how that might be? Caring for the sick, money, time, excellent equipment. Clothing.
The needy.
Our outreach team, when they provide things for students at the beginning of the year, I think that's an investment. That's getting involved in people's lives. Feeding the hungry. Big brother programs. Excellent. Clean water. So it's possible to actually utilize what's temporary and invest in things that can last forever. Well, let's take a look at this other issue, the trail of treasuring that we find. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You can reverse that as well. Whatever your heart is wrapped around is what you treasure. Now, what are evidences of treasuring something? What do we mean by that? You keep it safe. Okay, has special meaning to us. It takes my time. What you pursue. What you really treasure, you pursue. That's so true. Okay?
The treasure of talents, like our worship team sharing with us and giving to us their talents and from the heart.
So you value. There's a tremendous value you assign to something. And that value becomes reflected in your heart. Now, this Jesus is teaching us can be these kinds of human activity can be directed toward things, earthly things, and it's a poor investment. But somehow we think our stuff is our stuff. It's my stuff. And in a way, Jesus, I think, helps us kind of bump our minds out of this rut with the habitual investments that we make in things, and says, think about it. What lasting value is there to this, treasuring this? Where is it going to end up? What do you want your life to count for? You know, he amassed a lot of great things. We've just gone through his stuff, and it's an amazing collection. And what will the next generations? Oh, yes, they had an interesting collection over here, but it's in a little bit of disarray. And the roof fell in on the collection. You know, you could go from generation to generation and it not matter a whole lot. But if it's just our stuff and not God's stuff, then it always has an expiration sticker on it. right? It just has an expiration sticker. Over time, if it's just my stuff, life in the kingdom is more looks further than stuff with an expiration sticker on it. Life in the kingdom yearns to invest in things that matter and things that endure. So that's what he's teaching us, I think, in this first section. And then he points us to an illustration. We'll take a look at that here in just a moment, if that will. Maybe you could advance us to the next slide here, because that seems there. There. It's mine. Some of you will recognize this character. What's his name? Gollum, okay, and he didn't always look that way, did he? He looked like this, didn't he? What was his name before he became Gollum? Sméagol. It's mine. It's what we need. It's what we want. Must have it. The precious. And so he changed into that horrible creature, and it's a wonderful story about valuing something and wanting something, and it completely distorting the person's affections so that they become something really, really different. Now, we can see this dramatic change in Sméagol in the movie, but we can't see the changes, the subtle changes that come over us over time. I think that's what Jesus is speaking about here. And he gets to a better figure of that even as well. We want it. Ah, the precious. There it is. And I don't know what you'd call it today, what it would be. Maybe it's, oh, yes, yes. We finally got me precious iPhone 3G. 4G! What is it? Ah, one phone to rule them, one phone to tweet them, one phone to bring them all, and at the barbecue, meet them. Or maybe this, you know? Our things, our electronics can be kind of, that's where we spend our time. I think somebody mentioned what we consider a treasure is where we spend our time, what we focus on all the time. We do a little audit and say, what really occupies the affections of our heart? What is it? Is it just stuff? You see how this could go by us, and we never really even think of it as relating at all to what Jesus is saying here. And yet there are things like that. So he gives us an illustration about the eye. The eye. The eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eye is healthy, then you'll have light in your body. Some people kind of wonder about this illustration. What is he talking about? The eye is the lamp of the body. Well, it's like this. In this room, since I have eyesight, I know where to walk. I don't have any problem navigating this room, usually, unless I'm preoccupied. If I'm preoccupied, I might step over something. But when it's really dark in here, I have some trouble navigating. Have any of you had trouble navigating that section of the church when the lights are off? Oh man, that's a fright. There's no light up there. So there, here's the basic truth. The eye brings light into the body, and the body is sound and healthful and is able to move around freely when you have good eyesight. The opposite is also true. There are, when we are blind, we go around as if it were dark, literally dark, as if you were walking up there with all the lights out. There's the basic illustration. We know what that's like. The eye is the light of the body. What are benefits to sight? Let's just list a few.
See your children smile.
Okay. Beauty, being able to see beauty. Gives you freedom. Helps you avoid the dangers.
You can drive.
Sure it does. Eyesight is really important. Let's take a look at the other part. What are the difficulties of blindness?
You shut off
to people, perhaps, to your world. Navigation is difficult. There are certain dangers of that. You what? You can't drive anymore. That's my precious, is being able to drive. Oh, yes. And that would hurt. Yes. Live in fear. Loneliness. You're shut out from other people and their experience of life. Now let's take a look at what Jesus is, where he's trying to take us with this. The peril about the assumptions of our heart. It says, but if your eyes are bad, your whole body is full of darkness. You know what is interesting about this illustration is, as he goes on, it says, if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Can you see what that implies? That implies a person who thinks there's light within, and yet there's darkness. That implies that a person does not know what's going on. There are so many things that are enemies of the soul that we know exactly what's going on. No one can say when they are in an affair, oh, you're not my wife? Right? It's obvious. That's sinning with your eyes wide open. Jesus is saying there's something very deceptive about wealth and all its benefits. It's a little precious. You remember the power of the ring over Smeagol and Gollum? It's very real. Money can have that kind of power, wealth can have that kind of power over us. How? How does that happen? Well, we think about some of the things that money does for us. Sometimes it surrounds us with a sense of security. My little world is okay if I have all my bills paid. Have a little bit of money in the bank, if I have a good retirement set out there, and nothing happens. nothing happens. So there's a sense of security. There's a sense of significance. I'll go back to In school, when I was growing up, especially in this one little town, Levi's, kids wore Levi's. And I came from a family that really couldn't afford Levi's at that time. I've experienced the effect of being different. At that time, now, I think it's changed. Converse tennis shoes, which are fairly reasonable today. In fact, sometimes you can find them very, very easily priced. They were clear out of the possibilities for me. And how I felt about that was very important. The little phone situation, for those of you who are students and people in school, you know, a phone, that you have one is amazing to me. This cell phones weren't even, well, they may have been in existence, I don't know, when I was growing up, but surely, I think they had these great big things like this, you know, and they lugged them around like this, and only corporations could afford the things. And now, it's about how much stuff that's poked into that little cell phone. My precious. So, here we have these issues. These issues here that we can get to the point where our eyesight about what really matters and about what matters for eternity or investing in heaven as opposed to it just simply saying it's my stuff and consuming it, our perspectives get completely out of whack. Jesus is saying, watch out for that. He says in another gospel, watch out for the deceptiveness of riches. So that means that we need to be attentive to our hearts. The third thing is we're called to settle what is central in our hearts. And a picture of the absurdity of competing loyalties we find in these words. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. I tried to figure out what that might be like. I tried to think, what kind of pictures might that be? It's like trying to go down two tracks at one time. You know, eventually, you're going to have problems. There's a point where you can start off track a little bit, but eventually, there's going to be a train wreck. Eventually, something's going to have to give. Why do I think that? Because Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. No one can serve God and money. It's a train wreck, Jesus is saying. And I think he's also saying sometimes we don't even know we're headed for one. We don't have that kind of perspective. That's why we have to guard our hearts. So that's one way of looking at the absurdity of competing loyalties. Take a look at another. Here's a musician sitting down in front of two conductors. You know? We get this picture. That's not even a good situation. How could one person take direction from two conductors? It doesn't make sense. But yet we dabble in both worlds and let the affections of our heart get wrapped around other things instead of saying, I'll tell you what, I'll serve one master and that's going to be you, God. And it's not about me and my stuff anymore. It's how do you want me to manage your stuff? So that's what we have here, this idea of two competing loyalties. And that brings us to this, a call to live with God at the center. Now, I wonder about some things that we could take home this morning quickly. Let's talk about what this story tells us about God. What do you see there? What does this story teach us about God? Doesn't care so much about money. He's saying you can't take it with you. Okay?
He wants us to invest in things that are eternal and not that are not temporary.
Okay. Invest in what is eternal. He is the light. Okay? All of you. Okay, what does this teach us about human beings? We're easily sidetracked. Okay? Greedy. We can be greedy. We think we can do it both. You know, there's a very interesting way that we qualify Scripture at times as Christians. There are times we think that Scripture overstates things, and where our reality is just a little bit back from that. It's overstated so that we can live here. When Jesus says, you know, it's better to enter the kingdom with your eye put out, we go, oh yeah, see, that's an example of overstatement. And we get that. When you read these words this morning, you get the idea that he's talking about overstatement. When he says, no one can serve two masters. Do we think that we can hide back several steps from that? Here's one thing that we learn from it. It's just fun. These are a few things that I think about. Everybody knows my interest in the Matrix. And it's legendary. My girls used to say, what should we watch on video? I have an idea. Not the Matrix again! So I like his turn. What if I told you everything here will turn to dust? Boy, we need to remember that. Investments. Where we invest, we need to remember that. Maybe today, something came unlatched for you. I hope in the hearing of God's voice and in what Jesus spoke to us, that something comes unlatched so that we're no longer considering it just our stuff, but that we're considering his. Wealth is an unreliable investment in eternity. We've said that. Your eyes can fill your life with light or darkness. So what are you focusing on?